Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope that you'll continue to view each Sunday morning and listen as we give you a message of truth. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. It will give you all these radio programs and MP3 files and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a view. We also want to invite you to our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we will give you those times at the end of our broadcast, and we cordially invite you to any or all of those services. We have been looking at great examples of the Bible, and yet last week we began a study of looking at the example of a woman of courage, Esther. Now, Esther now is queen of Persia, the Mede-Persian, under the king who has replaced Vashti and put her in the place of Vashti. And as we ended our study, we looked at that she is now in the position of queen. We also mentioned at the end of our study that this is one of the books in the Bible that God's name is not mentioned in it, but we will see God's hand in it as we go through the story. As we pick up our story today, we are introduced to a man named Haman. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigtha and Tushra, they were doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on the king. So the matter became known to Mordecai, and he told the queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And so Mordecai overheard about a plot to assassinate the king. And so he reveals that to Esther, and Esther tells her husband, and the two men were given a trial and then hanged on gallows in Esther 2, verse 23. This deed was recorded in the Chronicles of the King. That's an important thing. I want you to remember that, because that's going to play an important part of our story later on. Now, a man named Haman, we are now introduced to him, was elevated to position of chief prince by the king himself. As he was an Agagite, which some say means an Amalekite, may have been related to King Agag, we don't know for sure. The king Samuel killed after Saul had failed to do so in 1 Samuel 15 and 14. Haman wore the king's insignia. All subjects in the kingdom were bow before him, but one man did not. That man was Mordecai. We don't know why he refused to bow. In giving an answer, he told them he was a Jew in Esther 3 and verse 4. Could be he felt that it was not just a civil honor, but more of a religious reverence, which was reserved for God only. Men are not above God, and Mordecai would not put Haman above God. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, Esther 3, verse 5. When some of his fellow workers had pointed out that this man did not bow before him, he began to observe Mordecai's action for himself. How angry was Haman? But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, of Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were in the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Because this Jew would not bow before him, he was determined to destroy the whole race of these people because of his intense hatred for the lack of respect that Mordecai paid to him. Haman was a superstitious man. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, they cast pur, that is a lot, before Haman, determined the day in the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, Esther 3, verse 7. In the month of Adar, on the 13th day, was the date for the extermination of the Jewish people. This would be a long wait for Haman, yet he would not upset this timetable. The fact he delayed for such a long time is extremely important, because it gives time for the salvation of the Jews to be achieved, and we will see that play out. Haman set his plan in motion. There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in the province of your kingdom. Their laws are different than from all the other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they will be destroyed. Excuse me. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasury. Esther 3, verse 8 and 9. Haman was graciously offering to pay the expense for the slaughter of the Jews. In our terms, in money, some $10 million. What is the king's answer? So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, and the son of the Agite, and the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you. Do with them as you seems good to you." Esther 3, 10 and 11. So the decree was quickly issued in the name of the king and was sent out to the entire kingdom of Persia in the name of the king. Haman had left one important matter of his plan he failed to consider: God. He underestimated the position of Mordecai, the queen who was reigning with the king, his daughter. Did he know the man that he hated so much had saved the king's life earlier? Obviously not. Esther was going to be an instrument that God would use in saving his people. Now, in Esther chapter 4, we begin to see how Esther is going to play a pivotal role. What is Mordecai and the Jews' reaction to this decree that they're going to be destroyed on this 12th month, on the 13th day? When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and a bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree had arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many laid in sackcloth and ashes. What about Esther? So Esther's maid and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Esther 4 and verse 4. Mordecai desires Esther to go before the king in verse 6. What is her answer? All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, not been summoned, he has but one law, to put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go to the king these 30 days, Esther 4 and verse 11. She is fearful and reluctant at first. Mordecai, being told of her answer, sends word back to her. It's important that we read the answer that her uncle gives her in Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse number 12. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. You see, he tried to tell her that she was not going to escape. Just because her nationality was not known yet did not mean that it would not become known. And so he told her that maybe God put you in this position for such a time as this to be an instrument in order to help his people. What did Esther say? Beginning in verse 15, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Susan and fast for me, neither eating nor drinking for 3 days, night and day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go into the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And so what do we see? We see that she is willing to do what needs to be done, and whatever the outcome is, she will accept that. If she perishes, she perishes. But she's going to make an effort to try to spare the people of God. Now, there is a great lesson here that we want to think about in the remaining of our time this morning. None of us know how God can use us in his service. None of us are really aware of situations that may be presented to us because of the position that, because of the blessings of God in our life, that we will be put in a position where we can be a great help to God and to his people. But understanding that it's going to take courage, and understanding that it might not always be convenient and it might not always be easy, we have to trust God, and we must be willing to allow God to use us to the greater good, not worrying about ourselves as much as what we can do for God. You see, this is a great example of the courage of Esther. She understands that there's a risk. There's a risk if the king doesn't call you to come in his presence and you go unannounced, then the one verdict in the Mede Persians is death. And she knows that. She knows that's the law. And she hasn't been called in to the presence of the king for 30 days. So she well understands the risk. She well understands what's at stake. Her life's at stake. But her people's life is at stake. It's not just about her. It's about all of their people. It's about her uncle. It's about all the people of her race. And so she knows that she must act. She is in a position that none of them are. And she has a position as queen that she can come before the king and she can make a petition and try to get this thing reversed. Now, at this time, she doesn't know how. She doesn't know how that will be transpired, how that will be thought out, but she tells them to pray and to fast for 3 days, and that she will tell her maids and herself they will do the same. And so they will pray to God, they will fast, they will weep, and then she will go before the king. And if she perishes, she perishes it. Whatever the outcome, she will go before the king to do what she can. She's going to do what she's in a position to do. After the fast had passed, she prepares herself to go before the king. Now understand that she's aware of what the risk is, but she deems that her people are worth the risk. We must remember that God put us here for a purpose, and that purpose is to spread the borders of his kingdom, to exemplify the character of God in our lives, to show that God has a better way than the way of the world, and to show that God's ways are better than man's ways. And yet, we are faced with many challenges. We are faced with many obstacles along the way. But we have to trust God like Esther did. Esther trusted God, and she was going to do what she had the ability to do, what she was in a position to do, and what this position had availed her that none of the other people could do, and if she perished, she perished. She was willing to take the risk for behalf of her people and to trust the God whom she loved and whom she believed in. That's a wonderful lesson, and we should have that kind of courage in face of any difficulty that we have in the trust God.